And Paul wanted the church to know, I don't count myself to have made it all the way into the glorified kingdom. And Paul says, one thing I will do, I'm not going to worry about what's behind me. I'm going to focus on what's in front of me. And Paul was running the Christian race. You don't run the race looking behind, you run the race looking forward. We're thankful to the great God of heaven that this morning he has allowed all of us to come together as a called out body of believers. For those of you who are visiting among us, we are so thankful that God blessed us to have you in our midst on this morning. Our prayer is that something will be said that will be encouraging to all of us. If you're coming to us by way of television this morning or by live stream, we welcome you as well. We pray that God will bless us to have the opportunity to meet you face to face. Come at your earliest opportunity, but we thank you for coming by way of TV and by live stream. This morning, we also want to take a moment to welcome the young professionals that we have among us. We know that this weekend they have been involved in a workshop and they have been gearing themselves up for great success in the secular world. And we're thankful that you are assembled with us on this morning. We had a wonderful day on yesterday with the preacher's class as well. We had an opportunity from the preacher's class to go over and visit with the Highland Gardens Church of Christ. And those in our preacher's class, we did a great work in that we were able to work with our sister congregation in their Day of Good Works. And we're thankful that they invited us. We certainly want to continue to keep all of the bodies of Christ, local and otherwise, in our hearts and our prayers. If you grab your copy of God's Word and meet with us in Proverbs 18th chapter, verse number 16, for emphasis' sake, we will reread Proverbs 18 and verse number 16. And I'm going to teach a topical lesson this morning. And I believe that there is something in it for all of us, but there's also a point of focus for those who are our young professionals among us. And we believe that it will help us in our success. Proverbs 18 and verse number 16. The Bible says, a man's gift maketh room for him and bringeth him before great men. I want to talk to you for a little bit this morning about your gift. Our young professionals, you have gifts. All of us as members of the body of Christ, we have gifts. If you're not a member of the body of Christ, you have an opportunity to receive a gift this morning. It's important for us because we have to learn how to spell success. Do you know when you are successful? How do you know when you are successful? Back when I was a senior in high school, I was one of, I was one of three people that were voted most likely to succeed. I happened to also be voted Mr. Polly. That's the school person. And it was rather unusual because I was a non-athlete. As a member of the three that were voted most likely to succeed, they gave us this little book. It's called All of Us Are Searching for Success. And it's full of quotes by people who are, in the eyes of the world, successful. One of them I wanted to share with you. You've heard me say it on at least one occasion or two occasions or a bunch of occasions before. It's a quote from James Thom. And what he says is, the most honest self-made man was the one we heard say, I got to the top the hard way, fighting my own laziness and ignorance every step of the way. I love that quote because I don't consider myself to have apprehended, as Apostle Paul said. But one thing that I've learned, if you're going to be successful in life, for me, I have to fight my own ignorance. I have to fight my own laziness and use the gift that God has granted unto me. And if any of us will be successful, then we're going to have to use the gift that God gave us. If you have a gift, and all of us do, you must apply the gift that God has given. I'm going to apply this to abilities. The word gift in Proverbs 18:16 has the idea of presenting someone with something, giving something to someone. And for those who will be successful, it's not necessarily the idea of giving something material to someone, but you have talents, you have abilities, you have things that God has blessed you with, and you have to have something to offer to the world if you will indeed be successful. Someone said that when we are born, that's God's gift to us. Isn't that a beautiful thought? And they said what we become is our gift back to God. Let that resonate in your mind for a moment. What we are when we are born is God's gift to us, and what we become is our gift back to God. The Bible shows us that God started this whole gift-giving thing off all on his own. In Ephesians chapter 4 and verse number 7, the Bible says, "But unto every one of us is given grace according to the measure of the gift of Christ." Did you get that? Everybody that's in here this morning has some gift from God. And God has measured our gifts. He has given us gifts. He's given us a great grace gift. But you know, all of us don't have the same talents and abilities. But if something was given to us in the first place, are you going to be jealous of what somebody else was given? Or are we going to be thankful for what God gave us? Are we going to use what God gave us, or just look at somebody else's gift and say, you know what? You know, he gave that person the wrong gift. He should have given that to us. But God gave grace to us all. He measured out all of the gifts that he has given to us. The Bible goes on to say in Ephesians chapter 4 and verse number 11 with regard to the church. And he gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers. He gave gifts to the church because he does not want the church to stay where we are when we come into the body of Christ. Everything that God has grows. Amen. Everything that God created, it grows. And God expects for us to grow. God expects for us to use the blessings, the gifts that he has put into our hands, that we might increase and that we might be able to grow our skills, grow our gifts, grow our talents. And again, don't say that you don't have any. I know some of us say that we're still looking for them. Brother, listen. Sister, listen. You have to take inventory because God did not leave you giftless. God has blessed us that we might be a blessing to others. Notice in Ephesians chapter 4 and verse number 12 what these gifts are that he gave to the church and the purpose that he gave them to the church. The Bible says in Ephesians 4 and verse number 12, the gifts that he gave the apostles, the pastors, the preachers, the teachers, if you will, he gave those gifts. Why? He says, for the perfecting of the saints. God wants us to grow up. God wants us to develop. God wants us to mature. God wants us to grow for the work of the ministry. Get this, for the edifying of the body. That is the building up of the kingdom of Christ. Grow your talents, my brother. Grow your talents, my sister. But let's also be mindful that we have a responsibility to use them in the kingdom of Christ. It's interesting that Jesus teaches in Matthew, the 25th chapter, about talents. And I know talents here are sums of money. Stay with me. I want you to see something here. In Matthew chapter 25, and all of these are significant amounts of money. And when I say our gifts, our talents that God has given us for growing the body of Christ, none of them is insignificant. One day I was walking around in the church building where I used to be the minister over there, and I was picking up paper between the seats, and I was picking up the paper, and one of the brothers came in and said, "Brother Wilson, you don't do that." And I said, "Okay, brother, why don't I do that?" He said, no, that's not your job. You're the preacher. I said, "Brother, I can still reach and pick over some of this paper and pick it up. And I guarantee you, if folk come in here and they're going in between the seats and there's paper everywhere, you get a whole different, is that right? You get a whole different impression." I'm thankful I have my brother Henley here. Brother Henley and I, God has blessed us. We've been enjoying a tennis fellowship. I have been away from the tennis courts for about 3 weeks now because I strained my back. I didn't want to pick up anything. I couldn't lean. But I strained my back. Brother Henley had something going on with his arm or shoulder, and it's a good thing we took a break. But it's a beautiful fellowship. And it's not a wasteful fellowship, because when we come together, every day that we come together, we go out on the tennis court and play tennis, we take time to talk to each other about God and the work of God and talk to the Lord. That is a blessing. And we're talking about building our relationships, how we can be successful in our relationships. The Bible says in Matthew, the 25th chapter, in verse number 15, "And he gave unto one 5 talents, and to another 2 talents, and to another 1. Every man get this according to his several ability." God didn't give us all the same gifts and even these talents. That money represents money, but he's also saying he didn't even give them in this example all the same amount. Why didn't God give them all the same amount? He says, because everybody doesn't have the same ability. So every talent, every gift that God has given us, he gave according to our ability. That's a blessing from God. Somebody ought to say, "Thank you, Lord." Because God has not been stingy. He shared blessings with all of us according to my ability. The only person that we read about in Matthew's gospel in the 25th chapter that was not successful. Do you know in that parable who was not successful? The only person that was not successful was the one that did not use his gift. In the body of Christ, you want to know who is not successful? Young professionals, you want to know who is not successful? It's the person that does not grow what God has given us. In Matthew chapter 25 and verse number 30, notice what God says. He says, "And cast ye the unprofitable servant into the outer darkness. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth." The unprofitable servant, you know what he did? He sat on the gift that God gave him. "God, I know you gave me a gift, but you know, I know that you come and you reap profits where you haven't done any work. And I just went ahead and I digged and I hid it in the ground. Here, I'm going to give you back what you gave to me." And he says, "You are a wicked and an unprofitable servant." And cast the unprofitable servant into the outer darkness. Brother, sister, listen. Don't become satisfied with where we are. Let's continue to grow, not only for our business and professional reasons, but also that we might grow the kingdom of God. In Philippians chapter 4 and verse number 12, Apostle Paul gives us the right perspective here. I'm not saying that we should never be contented. There are things that we've got to learn. I was so thankful my wife and I had a chance to go and visit over at the South Union Church of Christ on the Tuesday night when Brother Gary was speaking at the lectureship, and Brother Thomas Foster, who used to be the minister here, preceded Brother Gary. And Brother Foster got up and he talked about something that he, at the age of 70, he said, if I understood him correctly, had enrolled in taking a college class, and it was a class on philosophy, and had a discussion with the young man. Well, the point that I am pointing out here, that even at the age of 70, that he's continuing to grow himself. You don't ever get too old to continue to grow in the kingdom of God. But we got to grow by putting forth the effort in order to increase the gift that God has given us. In Philippians chapter 4 and verse number 12, Apostle Paul says, I know how to be abased. Paul says, I know how to be low. I know how to be humble. I know how to be down. He says, I know how to abound. I know how to live at the topmost level, the highest level. He says, I am instructed both to be full and to be hungry, to abound and to suffer need. Paul says, I am instructed. It sounds like it's counterintuitive in this regard. How can I be low and be high at the same time? How can I be hungry and full at the same time? Paul is saying, I have learned this. We've got to keep growing. We've got to keep learning. Don't be satisfied. You know, I'd like to get you to help me with my lesson. All right, so y'all turn to the person that's that's close to you, in front, on the side, behind, and tell them, don't be satisfied. You ready for the next? You ready for the next part? Use your gift. Wait. Say it with emphasis. Use your gift. Use the gift that God has given you, brother. Use the gift that God has given you, my sister. Don't go complacent in God. Many have tried to define success. How do you spell success? Have you defined success yet? I remember when I got my first professional job. I was so happy. I got a big time job with a big time oil company. And boy, I thought I had a ride. And I went into a group and I was doing some work with one of the young men that was in there, happened to be from the same town that I moved here from. He was from Fort Worth. That's where Polly is. And he was telling me about being successful. Do you have a definition for success? I won't call his name because he told me, he says, I'll tell you, you know how when you're successful. I said, well, how do you know when you're successful? He says, it's the kind of shoes you wear, the kind of car you drive, and what your wife looks like. He said, that's how you know when somebody's successful. And what kind of shoes do you wear? He said, man, I wear shoes with tassels on them. You see these tassels on my feet? I say, yeah, why you have tassels in? He said, because every time I'm walking, it reminds me, every time it hit my shoe, I'm kicking rear end and taking names. It right remind me to do my business. He's doing his business. My shoes just happen to have tassels on them. Now, you know, he didn't say kicking rear end. All right. What kind of car? He drove a luxury vehicle. And every time he rolled into work, it was low to the ground, candy apple red, and clean. Man, he was sharp. Come to work dressed and his shoes shine. And his wife was an international beauty. His wife was what he called a head turner. I was in that group for several years. And then we got separated. We went to different groups. And the reason I say I wouldn't say his name is that something happened. He fell on hard times. And I didn't know what had happened, but I saw him one day, and you know, I'm not very fashionable. I don't keep up with the fashions and everything, but I saw him and he had on a white shirt and the wrinkles on the shirt had wrinkles. And it's like, what's going on? What's going on? And I talked to someone else and they told me, I said, well, you know, he and his wife, They separated. They were going through some really, really hard times. they ultimately ended up being divorced. And he lost his job. He got fired. He started drinking heavily. He'd come to work, he was drinking, because his definition of success was material. And if folk were like, well, what happened? That was a marriage that was made in heaven. And I hear people, have you ever heard it say, let me just do a little, do you know that there ain't no marriages that are made in heaven? You know, when I hear folks say that, then it makes me wonder why. If you look, put it on the board. Look at Matthew 22 and verse number 29. The Bible, when they came to Jesus and they were talking about the woman who had all of these seven husbands, and in heaven, whose wife is she going to be? You know what Jesus said? Ye do err. He says, not knowing the scriptures. This is a problem. When we don't know the scriptures, no matter where we are in life with our gifts, ye do err, not knowing the scriptures, nor the power of God. I heard Brother Curtis mentioned in his closing remarks, Brother Doyle mentioned the last time that I was up here preaching, he said that Brother and I on Saturday morning said we were always arguing in the preacher's class. And I didn't remember it like that. I remember having several discussions. But that's what it was. It was discussions. But here's the thing, is that we need to make sure that we struggle to make sure that we teach what the Bible says and not our opinions. Teach the word. Well, that's not my lesson, but listen, that's always appropriate. And what Jesus said, you do err, not knowing the scriptures, nor the power of God. What did he say in verse number 29? We got verse number 30. What did he say? He says, for in the resurrection, they neither marry nor are given in marriage, but are as the angels in heaven. What is that? Folk ain't married in heaven. Ain't no marriages made in heaven. Amen. Electric lights. So if they're saying the marriage was made in heaven, that means you ain't married. All right. That's just free. Don't cost you anything extra. But he fell on hard times. What is your definition of success? How do you use your gift? Do you know when you are successful? Some folks say that it's based on how much money you make. Is that a measure of success? I thought at one point that that was a measure of success. Somebody told me. And when I was a little kid growing up on the farm, you know what the goal was back then? But I'm pretty old now. I'm pretty old. Okay, that was not funny. Why are you laughing? Okay, but yeah, by the grace of the good Lord, I am the age that I am. But when I was growing up, what I hear the old men talking about sitting around out there on the farm after we've been working the farm, they wanted to get to the point where they could make $100 a week. And I grew up with that in my mind, boy, I'm going to grow up and I'm going to work hard. I'm going to make $100 a week. And if I make $100 a week, I will have arrived. And when I got to the point where I started making $100 a week, it's like, Lord, have mercy. Even back then, I said, you know what? Maybe that's not as much. And then it got to be where it was, if you got to $35,000 a year. All right, you had arrived back as I continue to grow. If you $35,000, you had arrived. And you know what I'm saying is, what is enough materially, monetary wise, ends up later on being at the poverty level. It keeps moving. That's a moving scale. When do you have enough? When have we made enough? Is that the standard for success? So in your careers, in our lives, is it about the money? It's not about the money. In Luke chapter 12, there was a man came to Jesus and he was saying, Jesus, tell my brother to divide the inheritance among me. Give me my portion of the inheritance. The man was taking away his inheritance and surely he was coming to Jesus. It's wrong to hold back the money from your brother, isn't it? Jesus used it as a teaching opportunity. In Luke chapter 12 and verse number 15, and he said unto him, take heed, beware of covetousness. Get this, focus on this. For a man's life consisteth not in the abundance of the things which he possesses. That is not success in life. We can drown in our stuff. We can drown in our money. We have a president that's a billionaire, reportedly. Oh, we got quiet, Lord. But sometimes his conduct and his character leave a lot to be desired. He's coming to Texas to campaign for Senator Ted Cruz. My brother said, tomorrow. I've been getting the robocalls on my phone at home. And I've been invited. My wife said, who is that? I say, it's Ted Cruz. They're inviting us to come to this, that, or the other. And our president, when he was debating with Senator Ted Cruz about who was going to be the nominee for the Republican Party, he started talking about the man's wife. He said, look at his wife and look at mine. He has the same standard, it looks like, that my friend that I was working with had. What kind of car you drive, what kind of shoes you wear, what your wife look like. Basically, he was saying that Ted Cruz's wife is ugly. What do you do if somebody call your wife ugly? All right, brother. Can you hold my coat for a minute here? No. He said about his apartment in New York. President Trump said that his apartment, he's got a better apartment than, you know, his place to live is better than anybody's. He's got the top. Is that the standard for success? Even the Beatles used to go around singing a song. They said, money came by me. Oh, y'all don't know about the Beatles. Came by me love. They were singing that back when I was a young man growing up. Money can't buy me love. And then somebody came up with a corollary to go with it. Say, yeah, but it can rent it for a long time. I'm like, okay, I didn't find those lyrics anywhere in the song. But brother, the standard for success, sister, the standard for success is not what your spouse looks like. It's not what kind of clothes you wear. It's not the stuff that we have. That's not the standard for success. And certainly we want all of those material things as well. But that is not the standard for success in the eyes of God. One of the things that they told us on my job before I retired, the Lord has blessed me to be retired. Amen. Brother Young and I we retired from the same company. We talked from time to time. We were at the picnic and we were sitting at a table and my wife and one of the sisters were talking about, no, I'm not going to retire. I'm going to keep working. I like working. I enjoy it. I don't want to be bored at home. And Brother Young came and sat down at the table. I said, Brother Young, what do you got to say about that being retired thing? What do you think about it? He said, it's highly recommended. To be highly recommended. I say, I'm with you, brother, on that. I'm with you on that. The Lord has blessed us. And we're able to retire, but it seems like we're busier now than when we were working. But when I was at work, one of the things that they told us is that, number one, don't ever go to lunch alone. Never go to lunch alone. They were actually developing an app at work so that you could find out which of your coworkers was not going to lunch with somebody, so you could go and you could meet and you could sit and talk to them. And they changed the work environment where you didn't have a particular desk that you worked at. You had sections that you were available to work in. And then if you go to the section and it's full, you had to find somewhere else so you could meet all of the people and know what everybody did and that you could learn and you could build your network. So young professionals, you got to keep on networking, build your network, make contact with people. In the body of Christ, you know, we need to make sure that we learn who the people are. Spend time not with the same folk all over again, over and over again. They said, now, if you do go to lunch by yourself, don't go and not take something at least to read and study and to continue to develop and grow and build. That'll make you a successful young professional. But you know what? It makes us successful in the kingdom of Christ as we expand out of our comfort zones and we get to know the members of the family of God. Don't go to lunch alone, they said. Build your network. Learn the technology. It's interesting because at one point in my professional career, I was a trainer. I'm dating myself, I know. Because do you know there was a time that there were not actually computers on everybody's desk at the work? I was a part of the technology rollout. And I was a trainer for the people that we rolled the technology out to. And this is amazing. I kid you not. We put computers on folks' desks and folks are going, "Oh, Lord. What am I going to do with this? This is going to waste all of my... How am I going to do my job?" They did not want to touch it. They did not want to learn it. They came to the training classes, and I trained them on all of the operating systems, the software. And so one of the things, learn the technology. Don't be afraid of it. Don't put a label on it. Use it to your advantage. Now, we trained them, and now there are people that I trained. They were like, "You know, you're not getting my laptop. I'm taking my laptop every time I go." So they're going to take it with. Learn the technology. Don't be intimidated about it. Now, if you're in my age group, you might not have this particular thing that you need to be aware of, but believe me, there are young folks that need to be aware of this. Be aware of how you use your social media. You know what? Folks be exchanging, information and pictures and all of this stuff out on social media. And the employers nowadays, you know what they're doing? They Google it. That's right. Brother talking technology over here, they Google it. That's right. They are checking your profiles out there, your social media. If you got some stuff out there that shouldn't be out there, you better go and get it off, number one. If you haven't put it out there, don't start. Amen. Amen. But listen, just because somebody's your bosom buddy, your friend, and all this stuff, like you got, do you know that folk were bosom buddies and friends and they exchange all of this stuff, and then after that relationship fell apart, they put all their stuff out there on social media? Use social media wisely. Don't become a person who is a victim in your growth by what's on social media. Build your finances. Build your finances. One of the things that they told us is like, look, you every time you get paid, you make sure that you pay yourself first. Now, for the child of God, of course, look, listen, we're going to put aside what belongs to God first. Amen. I was asked the question, you know, now wait a minute, what do we do if we help somebody with some money and everything, and then Sunday come and the worship is coming and I done helped somebody, so I done helped them. Do I take that much out of what I had decided I was going to give to God? And the answer is no. Oh, okay, I better say, ooh, brother, we might need some teaching on that. God is first, but pay yourself. Spend some of the money in your own account. And if you have accounts where people match your funds, max out at the maximum, and when you get a raise, go up. See, the way that you build wealth is consistency plus the amount. Consistency and amount. Time and consistency. Consistently put something. If you don't get it in your hands, then certainly it will start compounding and building. Make compound interest work for you, not against you. All right. Talk to financial people. They will help you with that. But listen. All of those are certainly good things to be aware of. But Jesus takes time in his word to teach us about our gift and to teach us how to be successful on his terms. Do you want to know how to be successful in God's terms? Jesus, in Matthew, the 4th chapter, and verse number 8, is taken by the devil. And the devil is going to show him the stuff that we strive for in this life. In Matthew chapter 4 and verse number 8, it says, "And the devil taketh him up into an exceeding high mountain and showeth him all the kingdoms of the world and the glory of them." What was that like? To see all of the kingdoms of the world and the glory of them. And the devil is showing you all of this stuff and it's right in front of your eyes. You know what? The devil shows us a whole lot of stuff. Go like, look at it. You know you want it. Yeah. That's good for you, right? You know, this is something that you want. Yeah, and listen, I can give you a shortcut to it. Notice. Somebody said, wait a minute. Well, when the devil did that, he couldn't have given it to Jesus anyway. He's making an offer that's a false offer. I don't know how you conclude that it's a false offer. Don't you think that Jesus would know if it was a false offer or not? It's a legitimate offer in that context. It's a legitimate offer that he's making. And Jesus shows us in Ephesians chapter 2 and verse number 2, where in time past ye walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience. Here it is, the one who is the prince of this world, the one who has that power, that ability at that time. And he shows Jesus, he said, here's where you can have all of this stuff. I will give it to you. In Matthew chapter 4 and verse number 9, he says, and saith unto him, all these things will I give unto thee if thou wilt fall down and worship me. Jesus, I'm going to give you a shortcut. He's saying to us in our lives, I will give this to you. There's a shortcut. You can take, brother, listen, don't take shortcuts. Sister, don't take shortcuts. There was one philosophy that I was exposed to. It's called the Black Heart. It's called the Black Heart. That's a whole doctrine I don't have chance or time to get into. We got that brand new, big, really nice, beautiful clock back there, so you can be aware of the time. But the simple concept of the Black Heart has evolved down into little sayings that we are aware of in some other circles. You can finish these statements for me. It says, all is fair in love and war. Is that right? You heard that. Listen, throw that away. Because all ain't fair in love and war. But the concept of Black Heart is that all is fair in business. You put tassels on your shoes just to remind you. Yes, sir. Yeah, that's some kicking going on. Yeah, huh? Yeah. All is fair in business. It doesn't matter who you got to walk on to get to the top. You just walk on anybody you can. And they tell you stuff like, if you ain't the lead dog, I'm paraphrasing, they don't say ain't. If you're not the lead dog, what? The view never changes. That's right. If you're not the lead dog, you know what you want to do? You're going to make sure that you bite every dog that you got to bite, that you be the lead dog. So now you got a change in scenery. That is not the Christian concept, but that comes from the philosophy of the Black Heart. And there are people that have been successful because they don't care what they have to do to get to the top. Step on, bite on, and folks call it the rat, the rat race? Yeah, I didn't know that one. Okay, you hadn't heard that one. All right, but listen, God expects for us to have a different standard for success. In Matthew's gospel, the 4th chapter and verse number 10, Jesus did not take the shortcut. Brother, listen, sister, listen, don't take the shortcut. Y'all ready to help me again? All right, turn to the person nearest you and let them know. Don't take the shortcut. Now, remember, you say this part with emphasis. Use your gift. There you go. Don't take shortcuts, brothers. Sisters, don't take shortcuts. Use your gift. Use the blessings that God has given to you. Develop your gifts. Serve God first. Jesus told him, God only shalt thou serve. You won't get to the top, brother. You won't be successful, sister, by taking shortcuts. Use our time and our talent and put God first. Develop our skills, develop our gifts. If we gain all the kingdoms of the world without God, we are still lost. On the other hand, if we have nothing but we do still serve God, we are most successful, my brother. We are most successful my sister. Matthew 16 and verse number 26, the Bible says, "For what is a man profited if he shall gain the whole world and lose his soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for a soul?" There's nothing that you can exchange for your soul. God is a great gift giver. And the only person that is not successful is the person that does not use the gift that God put in our hands. He gave it to us for a reason. But as I said, God started this whole thing out. He's the one that gave gifts in the very beginning. And if you're here this morning and not a member of the family of God, there's a gift that's available to you. Now, I'm not going to say look under your seat and look for a tag or anything like that. But there's a gift for you this morning. In John chapter 1 and verse number 11. You know, the scripture is very emotional to me a lot of times when you read. It's like it's crying times. And so much of the scripture. And in John chapter 1 and verse number 11, notice the Bible says, "He came unto his own, and his own received him not." John tells us that the world was made by Jesus. He's the active force in creation. All things were created by him and for him. And the Bible says when he came unto his own, they wouldn't even receive him. Will you receive Jesus this morning? He says, "But as many as received him," put that on the board. You got to see this. "But as many as received him," look what he did. "To them, he gave the power to become sons of God." Man, did anybody ever call you son of God? When I hear him say son of, they usually don't follow it with God. You can be a son of God. You can be a daughter, a child of God. As many as received him, Jesus still gives us that power today. In Romans chapter 6 and verse number 23, we read this, but we miss it sometimes. It says, "For the wages of sin is death." And somebody's like, you know, just give me what I earn. You pay me. No, I never want to get what I earn. I never want to get what I deserve. The wages of sin is death. If we got what we deserve, would not one of us make it to see God's face in glory? The wages of sin is, what is it? But the gift of God is eternal life. Brother, I want my gift. Sister, I want my gift. You can have your gift this morning, my friend, if you believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God. That's a blessing that comes from God. When Simon Peter confessed that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God, you know what Jesus said to him? He said, "Blessed art thou, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven." If you believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God this morning, that is a blessing that has come from God. That means that the word of God has germinated in your heart, in your mind. You've received the word of God. All you have to do when you receive the word of God in your mind is to turn from self and sin. That's what repentance is. Turn from self and sin and turn to God. Paul says, "For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, but with the mouth confession is made unto salvation." Confess that you believe Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God, and be baptized in water for the remission of sins. Your sins are remitted, and guess what the gift is you get? You get the gift of the Holy Ghost. All right, man, now you got God to walk and talk with you. You got God to lead you and to guide you. As members of the family of God, sometimes we grieve the Holy Spirit by the way that we live our lives. But we come back through confession, repentance, and prayer. And if we come back through confession and repentance and prayer, you know what? We remove the grievance that the Holy Spirit has, and he will come and he will welcome us. And let's continue to use the great gifts that God has given us that we might build the kingdom of Christ. If you're subject to the invitation, why don't you come on down right now as we stand and sing the song that has been selected.
I have decided
to follow Jesus.
I have decided
to follow Jesus.
Good to see you, brother.
I have decided to follow Jesus. No turning back, no turning back. Though none go with me, I still will follow. Though none go with me, still I will follow. Though none go with me, still I will follow. No turning back, no turning back. My cross I'll carry till I see Jesus. My cross I'll carry.